In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 376. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a great guest with us tonight. But first, let's bring on my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. Ready for warm weather. We had snow for a third time in the last 2 months here in South Carolina today. Didn't stick, but it snowed. And I don't remember a time ever we've had three snows in a two-month span. So I'm over it. I'm ready for warm weather. I just want to be at a field somewhere watching baseball, but we're almost there. As you're listening to this, first spring training game today, which is exciting. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and it's back.
Yeah, it's been snowing like every other day up here, and I'm just quite, even though I'm used to it, I'm just quite frankly over it at this point.
That's why I don't live there.
I remember when I texted you that one morning when my car said it was like negative 15 when I was driving into work. I'm like, hey, you want to come for a visit? You said something along the lines of hell no, but not, you use different words than that, but all right. Now let's bring on our guest. So a few days ago, I paid a visit to the Fantasy Baseball Analyst Retirement Home in search of a podcast guest for this week. It wasn't easy to find time to meet with this person, but we found a slot after his nap time and before Arts and Crafts, where he's rumored to be working on a sculpture of Jared Kelnick. Please welcome on our old buddy, Michael Simeone. Michael, how you been, man?
Not too bad. That was a good intro. I appreciated that one. That was creative, Eric. I like it.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I obviously had to throw in a Jared Kelnick bit after our infamous, two-year-long whatever Twitter battle about Jared Kelnick.
Yes, and I won a bet, and we never followed through with that with that bet. I don't remember what you were supposed to wear, but you were supposed to wear something.
So I remember it. I bought the the Seattle Super Kelnicks shirt from RotoWear, and I brought it out with me to Arizona, but we never we had to go get like some duct tape and then with a marker right over it, so like Kelnick sucks or something like that.
Yes,
we never went out and got. I brought the shirt with me. I had it packed in my suitcase, but I still have the shirt. It's not in my rotation of shirts anymore. It's now been demoted to AAA, aka the closet. But maybe I'll bring it back out if we ever get to meet up again in Arizona or wherever. So
the funny thing is, I didn't even like really think he was going to be a bust. It was just like a whole shtick, and then like it just stuck, and then he ended up not being good. So I looked right.
It was funny because like I think other people kept like bringing it up. So you and I were just like, let's just keep going with this. Let's have some fun with it.
People thought I was serious all the time, and they would like come at me in comments. Good times. Love that stuff.
Those were the days. But all right, we brought on Michael to talk pitching, of course. We did our favorite hitting targets for this year on Monday's episode. Now we're doing the pitching side of that today. We got a dozen names total. But before we get into those names, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on Twitter. Michael is at SP Streamer. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I am at Eric Cross, MLB. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both our Chris and I's personal platforms, thedicey.go.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure to check out all the great content available with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Rotoballer's VIP draft kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, so we'll give our guest here the honors of leading us off. Who's your first guy, your pitching guy for this year, Michael?
Yeah, the first one I think is kind of popular. You guys would know more than me, but I feel like I've seen people tweet about him, which is Reese Olson. And I think it's mainly just because I'm a sucker for people who have, well, people, pitchers who have really good breaking balls. And he has two of them that are above average in chase rate and swing and strike rate. The weakness for him really is the fastball, but I think it's just a matter of him kind of locating it a little bit better, maybe a little higher in the zone. And I think if that happens, then we could really see an uptick in his strikeout rate. Good ballpark for pitchers too. So I just think where he's going, he's kind of forgotten about in that rotation. And I think his ADP like provides a lot of value.
Oh yeah. This is NFBC ADP and draft champion since January 1st. He is 263 on average. So he's going right in the cluster of who's around here? Walker Buehler, Ranger Suarez, Jeffrey Springs, Michael Wacha, Nestor Cortez. So, yeah, I like Reese Olson a lot. I think that could be a really good rotation. I mean, obviously, you got Tarik Skubal, Flaherty's back, you know, Jackson Jobe, the young guy coming out. You know, if you get a full year out of Olson, I mean, that's a really good 1-4 there. Hitting side's pretty solid with them too. So they're brewing something there with Detroit. Last year, Olson 22 starts. So if we just get a full season out of him, I think that's gonna be a really good value. So I like that one. Chris, who's your first guy?
All right, I'm going to Tampa and Ryan Pepiot. Pepiot's got all the traits of a really high end starter. It's unfortunate to me that they are not in the Trop and they're going to be pitching the home games in Steinbrenner this year, especially Pepiot's, one of his flaws is fly balls, but look at the arsenal and it's really good across the board. I mean, Stuff Plus loves Pepiot. He had a 107 Stuff Plus according to Eno's model and 108 pitching plus last year, 130 innings, 3.6 ERA and a 1.15 whip, 26% strikeout rate, but I think the strikeouts definitely take a bump this year. That fastball's lethal. Actually, it had the highest whiff rate of any four-seam fastball for any starting pitcher. I think Mason Miller was the only pitcher that had a higher whiff rate on his four-seam last year than Pepiot did. Pepiot's was at 32%. 95 miles an hour, it's 19, 20 inches of vert from a fairly low release height at 5'9". So the IVB on it's well above average for the release. It's 6'9" of extension, pretty flat vertical approach angle. It's just has all the makings of a really, really good fastball. He's got a good change in slider as well. That slider sits 89-90, changeup around 86, heavy fade and changeup, gets a lot of chase and whiffs on it. And the slider also misses a lot of bats. It's kind of interesting, something to watch. Like, he used the cutter a lot more down the stretch last year. The usage took a jump in August, September, and it had really good results. Like, not a huge bat missing pitch, but it did give him another out pitch that I think could be really good for the arsenal moving forward. I am a little hesitant to go all in just because Steinbrenner's very hitter friendly. It'll be curious though to see how the ball flies. The ball doesn't fly as much in Tampa in that kind of environment. Obviously the Trop being indoors didn't affect that, but it's kind of muggy. They're also playing games early in the season. So that'll be like all the home games early, which will be kind of interesting too, to see how it shakes out. Regardless, like, it plays like Yankee Stadium, and we know fly balls pitchers can get in trouble in Yankee. So I don't know. I think Pepiot has all the ingredients to be a high end starter. It's just, can he put it all together? And I think that's certainly the case.
Yeah, I like Pepiot a lot this year. I like Boz a lot. I like Taj Bradley a lot. I'm just, yeah, that's the one holdback, right? Is that stadium. I like them a lot more pitching in the Trop than Steinbrenner, but yeah, obviously a lot of talent there. My first guy, also in the AL East, I'm going Grayson Rodriguez. Still only 25 years old. 20 starts last year, ERA just under 4, at 3.86, 124 whip, a little bit more than a strikeout per inning. I mean, he's had a solid career to date, but I'd feel like maybe you could say it's been at least a bit underwhelming just compared to expectations for him coming up as, you know, at one point he was ranked as the number one pitching prospect, or at least in that top tier of pitching prospects, but, you know, still a lot of good under the hood. I mean, last year he had a 19.2% strikeout minus walk rate, and the walk rate ticked down last year from the previous year. K rate went up a little bit. He allowed less contact last year. You know, zone went down about 2.5%. Overall went down around 3.5%. A little bit more chase, more strikes. So just some nice improvements across the board. He's always been a guy that gets, you know, a good ground ball rate, even though that did dip a little bit last year, but always gotten a pretty solid ground ball rate, even through his time in the minor leagues. You know, four pitch arsenal, well, five if you include the sinker, which I really don't. He barely ever uses it, but four seam, changeup, slider, curveball, and he could really miss bats with all of those offerings. Yeah, changeup and slider, especially those, have always kind of been his two bread and butter pitches, but the curveball, pretty good as well. And only one of those really allowed, you know, a lot of damage to it. The slider had a few home runs allowed, which pushed that slug on the slider up to 563, but it's always been a pretty good pitch for him throughout his professional career. I mean, he also ranked very highly on Eno's Stuff Plus. He's actually had the same Stuff Plus last year as Pepiot at 107, and also had a 107 Location Plus as well, which was, I think, one of the top five in baseball, or top 10. Yeah, he was like, yeah, right around 10th in baseball in Location Plus and about 15th in Stuff Plus. So I still love the overall upside there. And it's kind of like what I was saying with Olsen. For Michael's pick, just need him to stay healthy for a full year. You know, Rodriguez has been kind of in the low 20s for starts. You get 30 starts out of him, I think you're going to have a pretty good ROI. He's going off the board around, I think it was pick 100. Yeah, 104. He's the 45th pitcher off the board, but that's probably SP, oh, I don't know, probably 30 to 33 or something like that once you take out all the relievers out of there. Somewhere in that range. I wish they would just divide those up into two separate
I don't understand why it's taken them years to do this.
every year who was clamoring for it,
every year someone asked them.
I know. I wish that'd be so. I know it's all pitcher for your positions on the in your leagues, but just for the ADP sake, you just split them up, please. Like I'll even pay, who do I have to bribe and how much will it cost? But I love Rodriguez. I mean, this year in redraft, you get him, I think he's still a fine two, but you get him as your three. Love it. Dynasty, I think he's still a good buy. I think the cost will only go up from here. So I think you're going to see the best year yet from Grayson Rodriguez. That's my first one.
Yeah, I think he got a little unlucky in the strikeout rate area, too. I think based on his whiff rate, it should have been closer to like 28% last year, so 26.5.
And yeah, he had a 30% whiff rate, yeah.
Yeah, also a fun fact, I am having a girl, but if I was having a boy, his name was going to be Grayson.
Nice.
Not because of Grayson Rodriguez.
100% because of Grayson. Wait, you weren't going to name your boy Jared?
No? Jared Lorenzen Simeon.
Jared Lorenzen Simeon. There you go. You can still call her. There's Michael, really no female equivalent of Jared, is there? can't really put Jared in there, but. All right, so next one here, good old Sonny Gray, Michael.
Yeah, so I'm going with Sonny Gray just because he actually had the second highest strikeout rate of his career last year, and I think the highest K walk percentage of his career as well. Just super solid, and I feel like, again, I guess because he's on the obviously wrong side of 30, people are kind of forgetting about him. But I mean, in the last two seasons, he has the fifth highest strikeout rate amongst all pitchers who pitch at least 300 innings. He did it by using his sweeper and cutter more than ever. And, you know, I just think you're getting somebody. And, like, I know I think he's 35, but I just feel like the type of pitcher he is, though, he can pitch for a long time the way he likes to. Because, again, he has a deep repertoire. He is more finesse, not power. So I think he could do this for a few more years. And I just feel like I think that, you know, I mean, you can't go against the last three seasons. He has a 3.24 ERA and a 1.12 whip. I mean, that's super solid and a really high floor. And I think where he's going, it's like a no-brainer, and he should be going a lot higher than where he's at right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was even guilty of undervaluing, underranking Gray, but I've kind of stopped over the last couple of years because he's just become, I mean, very kind of boring, but, you know, boring but productive.
But so good. Yeah.
Like you mentioned, like I always like, sexy doesn't always win championships. Yeah, it's fun to have Skeens and Scoobles and everybody of the world, but you got to mix in, you know, these Sonny Gray types and to have success. And yeah, he's been very solid. He had 200 strikeouts last year. I believe I don't think he's ever hit 200 in his career. Has he? Maybe. Oh, no, one other year. He had 2019, he had 205, but yeah, 200 strikeouts last year, 183 year before that. Yeah, you got to imagine that's probably his was 386 combined. That's got to be like top 10 for over the last 2 years combined. So yeah, Sonny Gray, very, very solid. Chris, who's your next one?
Well, I'm going to go flashy with Jared Jones, who was all the buzz last spring and then made the team out of camp. And it's kind of fascinating. He's a weird case where he struggled a little bit. He had an injury and he came back and wasn't as good down the stretch, but he did finish the year strong in his final start. Still had a 4.14 ERA across 121 innings last year and a 26% strikeout rate. The stuff's there. I mean, that's another guy with an elite fastball, sits 97. He hit 101 last year. I mean, it's plus IBB from a 5.5 release height, very flat vertical approach angle, good whiffs, heavy extension as well. Slider, I mean, some people say he's a two-pitch guy, fastball slider. And this slider, obviously really good pitch, 89, strong gyro shape, 37% whiff rate last year. But I think the biggest thing to watch is his curveball. He used it more last year in September. He upped the usage to 16%. In September, it had good results at a 38% whiff rate that month. He's using it more this spring. Looks really nasty on the video I've seen of him so far, throwing that curve. I just want to see him use the curve consistently at 15%, and I want to see the change up at 10% consistently. That would be excellent. Your fastball slider, 75%, and then mix that curve and change in as well. I do believe that that's the intention, that he will use the curveball more. Changeup still to be determined. Obviously, a pitch that he's going to use to lefties, not normally against righties. But I believe that with three solid pitches, then all of a sudden Jones has a really good arsenal. It's going to miss more bats. I expect the K rate to go up. Command's pretty good, too, for a flamethrower like this. And I believe that he's kind of poised to take a step forward. The ADP's a little lower than I expected it would be, just given kind of the name value and buzz that he had. That could change with some good spring training games, but right now I think Jones is a really good buy, and I think the innings will be there. I think you'll get really good results out of him as well.
Yeah, that Pittsburgh rotation, especially when they add Bubba Chandler into the mix, that's going to be really, really good. And yeah, like
it's going to be probably scary.
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah, very, very good. Now they can just figure out the hitting side of things, but how many times last year, Chris, did we talk about, you know, Jones, like, oh, if he adds a third pitch consistently, and yeah, if that happens this year, yeah, Jones is going to be pretty damn good value. My next guy here, I'm pretty sure is the lowest ADP of anyone we're talking about by a considerable margin, but, you know, in deep leagues, like, you know, draft champions leagues, stuff like that, I've been really liking Sean Burke of the Chicago White Sox, who's going to be in that rotation because, you know, who else is going to be in that rotation this year? And his ADP is just outside of the top 400. He's going in the same range as, let's see, Jordan Montgomery, who's not even in the rotation, so no thanks. Eduardo Rodriguez, no thanks. Hayden Birdsong, Charlie Morton's. Kind of a random hodgepodge of guys down here. Giolito's down here, Joey Cantillo. Pretty weird mix of characters here, but you know, Burke is always missed bats. He had a K rate just under 30% in the minor leagues, about 29.5%. This past year in AAA, he had 86 strikeouts and just 64 in the third innings. You know, ERA and WHIP was higher, but AAA Charlotte, not a great place to pitch. So you got to take that with a massive grain of salt. He's had a little bit of strike throwing issues, which is kind of the red flag here. Even back in his collegiate days at Maryland, he had a walk rate above 10% this last year at Maryland. It's been, I think, above 10% every year. not like dangerous levels. It's not like 15%+, but more like 11 or 12, which is still like to see that come down a bit. But had a really good little cup of coffee with the White Sox last year. 4 games, 3 starts, 142 ERA, 22 strikeouts in 19 innings. Slider and changeup both had a whiff rate above 40% in that little major league stint. Again, very small sample size. But, you know, he can mix pitch as well. He can miss bats with multiple secondaries. You know, four-seamer averages a little over 95 miles an hour. Uses all of his pitches to lefties and then only 3 to righties. But just four-seam, slider, curveball, 2 right-handers. But the opportunity is absolutely there. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be like a top 100 guy or anything like that. But, you know, could he be like a, you know, top 75 to 100 pitcher and like a top 250 overall player this year? Yeah, I think that's possible. And, you know, maybe not a lot of wins on that White Sox team, but I think he can give you like a mid to upper 3s ERA and, you know, maybe 25, 26% strikeout rate, something like that. And at that point in your draft, pick 400, I think that's pretty solid value there. So kind of a little bit off the beaten path here with Sean Burke, but he's been a guy I found myself getting a lot of shares of and probably will have a few more as well before the draft season concludes here. All right. Back over to you, Michael. Who's your next one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a little more upside in Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, he has just ridiculous stuff, obviously, in terms of, you know, stuff plus his fastball, cutter, slider, curve, all either average to above average. You know, he's had a really high K rate throughout the minors. And obviously, when he came up too, he pitched really well in terms of strikeouts, but the main issue with him obviously has been the walk rate. And you know, it started off pretty high, like 12-10%, but he really dropped it, especially in the second half. He brought it down to 7.9%. So I think if he can keep the walk rate to in that area and then keep the high strikeout rate in like the 30% range, obviously he's going to be a steal with where he's going. So I just think he has a ton of potential. He had 10 starts with 7 or more strikeouts. And if he could just fix that walk issue a little bit, and I kind of believe in, you know, the team that he pitches for is pretty good with developing stars. So, I think they'll, you know, they'll figure it out with him, and he just has so much upside and he's really hard to ignore.
And he is just a fun name to say, Spencer Arrighetti. Because obviously it reminds me of spaghetti.
Yeah, I have a friend who every time he talks about him, he just puts the spaghetti emoji in the text.
hey, if you could combine like the ending of Arrighetti and then the SP from Spencer, it works. Absolutely works. Yeah, I like Arrighetti as well. And that, yeah. I don't think this is going to be the last Houston Astro we're going to talk about here, but not with this one. Chris is going to the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, so this person currently isn't penciled in the rotation on roster resource, but I think David Festa, if he doesn't win a spot out of spring training, will get one pretty quickly. He was incredibly good last year. If you look at the surface numbers, you may not see that because his first 2 starts in the majors were so bad. He allowed 12 earned in his first 2 starts, went down AAA, got some things ironed out, got his confidence back, and returned to the majors and was really good for the final 2.5 months of the year. He's posted a 3.81 ERA with a 3.15 FIP over that span in 54 in a third innings, had 30% strikeout rate. It was right under a 10% walk rate. He's always hovered in that 10% range, which is a little higher than you want to see. But Festa, I mean, he just does a lot of things well. Tall frame, good extension. He gets a lot of IBB on the fastball. Even from the release, his release height's about 6 feet. So it still plays extremely well. The changeup and slider sit in a similar velocity band. Slider is around 86. The changeup's around 88. But really good horizontal separation between the two pitches. Changeup gets pretty heavy fade, about 14 inches on average. And the slider has pretty strong gyro shape to it. So they play well together. I think the biggest question with Festa is how many innings does he get? I would say that the Twins have Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Bailey Ober locked in. But after that, they've got Simeon Woods-Richardson and Chris Paddock penciled in. I have a hard time not seeing Festa being able to beat one of those guys out, just considering the inconsistencies that we've seen with both those. Also, Paddock has not been the picture of health for his career. But I really believe in David Festa, the pitcher, and I think that he's going to earn that spot sooner than later. I'd bet on him getting, at minimum, 120 innings in the major league rotation, if not more. And I think in his ADP, there's a lot of value to be had from there.
Oh, yeah. You can't count on Paddock to stay healthy. Not a chance. Festa's ADP, yeah, it's near 300, but that's a great value for that, especially for that upside, for sure. Yeah. I was considering Festa, too. I think Festa's a good value this year. My second guy I'm going with, or my third guy, actually, I'm going with Brandon Pfaadt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, you look last year, you know, 4.71 ERA, nothing to write home about, but, you know, definitely pitched better than that ERA would indicate. That's why you can't just take ERA at face value a lot of times, because you look at every one of Pfaadt's ERA indicators, you know, xERA, FIP, xFIP, Sierra, they're all like 3.6, 3.7 in that range, all right around a run or a little over a run lower. I mean, two things he's got going for him. He doesn't walk many batters at all. He's always been, you know, one of the better command and control guys at every level he's been at. Also had 181 and two-thirds innings last year, which is becoming, you know, more and more rare with each passing year. You know, 180 is the new 200 these days. So give you volume last year, made 32 starts. You know, he was averaging just under 6 innings per start. I think Arizona's going to be pretty good, so I think they'll give him a good amount of chances for wins this year. And, you know, can miss bats, too. I mean, he's not just simply a you know, good control guy. I mean, yeah, he is, but he can miss bats, too. He had a 24.3% strikeout rate last year, which was up 2% from his rookie year. Six pitches deep, you know, three of them were 29% whiff rate or higher. In the curveball was at 29.5, changeup 31.2, and the sweeper was at 36.2%. And, you know, doesn't allow like a ton of contact. You know, whiff rate was above average as well. Now, he's not flashy by any means, but I think he could take a nice step forward. I mean, he's probably never be one of your top guys in your rotation, whether it be redraft or dynasty, but maybe he's got, you know, kind of lurks in like the SP4 range moving forward. And his ADP, I think, is pretty reasonable this year. I mean, we're looking at 166. I mean, he's actually going right behind Ryan Pepio in that range, also with Sandy Alcantara, Christopher Sanchez, Shane Boz in that range as well. So decent range for pitchers, but I think Pfaadt could give you, you know, borderline top 100 overall value and maybe be like a top, I don't know, 30 to 35 pitcher this year. If he gets that ERA down, you know, closer to where the indicators were last year, it gives you like a mid-3 ERA, you know, 25% K rate, plus all that volume. I think this would be a really valuable pitcher to have this year. So not the, you know, not the buzziest name, not the flashiest name, but I think Brandon Pfaadt is a really solid pitcher. And Michael, I think from what we were talking about, you're a fan of Pfaadt as well, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, his slider is insane, but I think the best thing about what he did last year was drop that home run rate. He dropped it to almost league average. He's kind of always struggled with that, especially his rookie season. And so I think that helps the ERA indicators for sure. You know, like his xFIP was a 3.58, and he should have had a 3.61 ERA according to FIP. So I just think I think he's going to make even more progress next year for sure.
Yeah. That rotation with Corbin Burns down there now, too, it's a pretty solid rotation. I like Gallen to bounce back, too. Like I'm not one that's kind of jumping off the Corbin Burns train. Like we talked about him on, you know, this show a couple months ago about how, you know, the changes he made down the stretch last year. So I think it's going to be a really good rotation there in Arizona. All right, next one for you, Michael. Here's the other Astro I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, Hunter Brown. You know, I know he had a little tough, rough start last season, but the second half of the season, I mean, the second half he had a 3.12 xFIP and a 2.75 FIP, and that just shows how good he really was in the second half. Again, he just has a lot of pitches that he could work with. He's just overall really good. He has three pitches that are above average and stuff plus. I actually took a tweet from Taylor Tarter on Twitter, writer for Pitcher List. But he tweeted this out, and it was everything I kind of saw as well. His two pitches with above average out percentage, five pitches with a whiff percentage over 20%, four pitches with an XBA under 200, five pitches with a launch angle under 8 degrees, seventh in ground ball percentage in 2024, and his walk percentage, K rate, batting average against, left on base percentage, and ground ball percentage all improved in the second half. So that was a lot of stuff I just read out. But basically, super deep, repertoire in terms of what types of pitches he could utilize and how he can utilize them. And again, really, really big improvement in the second half. He was someone everybody wanted going into last season.
Yep.
And again, he just burned everyone really early. But since those blowups, he pitched phenomenal, and he became the pitcher everyone thought he was going to become. So I think, if we were judging him on just the second half for an entire season, he would be going much earlier than he is.
Yeah. I mean, I had some cheers last year. I mean, this has always been a pro Hunter Brown podcast for sure. He had that 9.78 ERA after his sixth start on the 30th of April. It was still at 7.71 after his ninth start. And then it started getting better, starting with his May 22nd start against the Angels. Two earned in six innings then. That dropped his ERA almost a full run at that point. But after that, there was one more blow-up against the Twins on July 6th. But even with that, final 22 starts, 132 and two-thirds innings, 231 ERA. Yeah, he was so
insane.
Much better. And then that was with that seven earned run blow up.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot of like earned runs where it was 2-1-3-0-0-1-0-0-7, 2-0-1-1-2-1-1. It's like just a bunch of ones, zeros, and twos in there. So, yeah, Hunter Brown, if you stuck through, like if you held on to Hunter Brown because you knew like he's good,
you got rewarded.
It was funny because, but that can go both ways, right? Because same exact thing happened with a pretty, I think, similarly hyped and talented pitcher entering last year, Bobby Miller, who did not get better.
That's true.
Sometimes you hold him too long and it keeps burning him more, like with Miller. But then if you hold on to him, sometimes they pull Hunter Brown and they're one of the best pitchers in baseball for the last two-thirds of the season. So, yeah. That was, luckily I did hold on to Hunter Brown. I had a couple of shares last year, and thankfully I did, even though those first 5-6 weeks were really rough. But, luckily he was in Houston. They usually figure that stuff out, like you mentioned. Good pitching development org, always have been, always will be. All right, Chris, did you have anything you wanted to add? I know you're a big Hunter Brown guy as well before you get into your next name.
Nope, nothing else to add. That's covered it all. But, yeah, I kind of went off the cusp for my last name. Debated several guys, throw a dart at Ryan Weathers, lefty for the Marlins. Came into camp down like 20 pounds in the offseason. Already had pretty decent stuff and had showed some pretty good things last year, I thought. He made 16 starts in the majors, 86 and two-thirds, and had a 3.63 ERA, 80 strikeouts and a 1.81 whip, or 1.18, 1.81, that'd be terrible whip. Don't listen to that. 1.18 whip. You would completely tank your ratios by rostering a pitcher that did that, which I think Bobby Miller was actually pretty close to that. You mentioned Bobby Miller. He was pretty dang close to 1.8. Not worse. Look and see. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. It was 1.77. Yeah. Pretty damn close.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at Ryan Weathers, like, I think he has some intangibles that could make him a really solid starter. We saw the pitch mix change a bit last year, really cut the four-seam usage, dropped it by about 15 percentage points. In turn, he saw the changeup usage go up, sweeper usage go up, but he started throwing a sinker more instead of that four-seam more often. If you look at the pitch mix kind of month by month, like it was kind of interesting because there were points where he was throwing the sinker nearly as often as the four-seam. By the end of the year, he kind of got back to like 35% four-seam usage, and it was like closer to 12% sinker usage, but still solid amount. Like when you look at the arsenal, I think the four seam's probably been the biggest weakness. So a couple tweaks there and you could get results. But the secondaries are strong. I mean, changeup, he had a 38% whiff rate on. Really good results there. Sweeper, 51% whiff rate. So those results speak for themselves. I think that a few tweaks in the four seam would pay dividends, or it's just use that sinker more often. Got to locate the four seam better. At the end of the day, like the four seam location kind of destroyed him. But I do think with those secondaries, it enables him to kind of do some creative things with the sinker because he knows he can get the bat missing ability from the sweeper and the changeup. So I'm interested to see what Weathers looks like this spring. I think that there's definitely some breakout appeal here. I mean, this was a former first rounder, number 7 overall pick back in 2018. So there's been pedigree for some time with Ryan Weathers. It's just putting it all together. And I think he's pretty close. And this year might be the year that he does so.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get a chance to start regularly with that team as long as he's healthy. Because outside of, you know, Sandy, that rotation gets pretty sketchy pretty quick. So, yeah, I like Weathers a little bit too. I think there's definitely some upside there. Sorry, what were you going to say, Michael?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
That the rotation's a little shady.
I mean, even their ace. I mean, I love Sandy and all, but he's coming back off a major injury. So,
yeah.
Don't really know fully what you're going to get with him. You know, I think he'll be fine, but you never know. All right, I'll go to the NL East as well for my last guy, and the guy that I picked up in a few leagues last year, thankfully, and I'm sure he saved a lot of other rotations, fantasy rotations last year as well, and he definitely saved the Braves rotation last year too. That's Spencer Schwellenbach, kind of similar. He didn't really start off. I mean, his first start was May 29th, but his first six starts through the end of June, he had a 5.68 ERA. I mean, back-to-back starts allowing four earned. To close out June against St. Louis and Pittsburgh. But then from, you know, July, August, and September, those 3 months specifically, he was really damn good. In those 15 starts, averaged over six innings per start, 92 innings total, had a 2.54 ERA in those with a 95-14 strikeout minus walk ratio. I mean, talk about Fott being the, you know, command and control guy. You know, definitely get that from Spencer Schwellenbach. He only had a walk rate just above 4% last year, 4.6%, 25.5% strikeout rate, so a 20.8 strikeout minus walk rate there. First pitch strike rate, 67%. I mean, this guy just pounds the zone, but he can also, you know, go outside the zone and miss bats as well. You know, deep arsenal, six pitches deep that he all uses at least 6.8% of the time, and something that everyone that follows me should know this by now, that I love that he uses them to both righties and lefties. Like, there's not one pitch that he just shelves against one side. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he throws, you know, fewer splitters against righties, but he still used all six of his offerings to both sides of the plate, which I love to see. Curveball and splitter both had a whiff rate above 40%. The whiff rate overall was about 2.5% above league average. He was at 27.4%. Gets ground balls at a solid clip as well. There's just a lot to like here with Spencer Schwellenbach. And I think, you know, he could be, you know, take another step forward. If you get, you know, that last, that second half Schwellenbach for a full year, I mean, could he have a sub-3 ERA for a full year? Sure. I mean, he had 3.35 ERA last year. You know, all the indicators are right in that range as well. But just given how advanced he is, you know, with strike throwing, you know, with limiting hard contact, especially with the barrel rate. He had only a 4.9% barrel rate allowed. Only allowed 17 barrels all season and 21 starts, which is really impressive as well. So maybe never an ace, but I think you can see Schwellenbach get up into like SP2 range. And he's already being drafted fairly high. I mean, these aren't all like breakout picks by any means, just guys that we want to have for one reason or another. And his ADP is like around 80 to 85, kind of right behind Bryce Miller, Bailey Ober, right ahead of Aaron Nola, Tanner Bibee. So pretty good range of arms there. But I'm definitely looking to draft Schwellenbach in that range. Would love him as my SP3. Would be okay if I waited on pitching, got him as my SP2 as well. Definitely okay with that. So I think he's going to be just as good or even, you know, better in 2025. So my last guy, Spencer Schwellenbach. That's 12 names here. Did you have one more name, Michael? Did you want to close up? And I know you had one more name written down. Do you want to throw that one in there?
I quickly had Kikuchi just because his his end zone whiff rate has gone up, went up pretty dramatically last year. He finished the last 2 months of the season with a strikeout rate over 31%. His ERA indicators were all super low. I just think he's a little bit of a, I guess you could call him a boring pick that people are kind of pushing off to the side a little bit in terms of ADP as well. Just because he's super solid with, you know, a pretty good fastball. And I just think he's going to get you pretty decent ratios and get you some innings as well.
He was really good after that trade to Houston. So I think was he throwing the slider more with Houston? I remember there was like one pitch mix change that he went with Houston. I forget exactly what it was. I think it was the slider more, if I recall. I'm pulling that up right now.
I was gonna say, I'd have to look. I think you're right, but
I definitely remember that there was an Arsenal change. Yeah, I'm pulling up right now. So if we go by month. So yeah, so he went so like July is last month with Toronto. He was four seam 55%, slider 20%, changeup 13%, curveball 12%. And then let's just go to September. Yeah, he threw more sliders in September than fastballs. He was up to 36% slider in August, 39% in September, and four seam went down a little bit in each of those last 2 months. A curveball and changeup were, I think, roughly the same. But yeah, it was more sliders, fewer four seamers. Again, Houston, they know what they're doing down there.
I was going to say, which is what he needed to do. Yeah.
Yep. And now he's going with the Angels. Who knows?
I mean, yeah.
Hopefully the Angels still undo what the Astros did.
Hopefully he just ignores everything they say and just sticks with what Houston told him to do.
Yeah, he's like, no, Houston had me do this. It worked. I mean,
leave me alone.
what's his stats were with Houston? Yeah, because he had a 4.75 ERA with Toronto and 22 starts, 2.70 with 10 starts with Houston, with 76 strikeouts to 14 walks. In 60 innings. Yep. Pretty. I didn't have any shares, unfortunately, of that, so did not get to experience that on my own teams, but I definitely was impressed with Kikuchi down the stretch for sure. He's actually the only Angels pitcher I really like this year. I don't usually like Angels pitchers for obvious reasons, but I like Kikuchi. I think he's a solid ADP value as well. All right, that's going to wrap us up. That was an extra bonus name there, so 13 names total. Michael, it was great to pull you out of the old retirement home and you had to get your walker over here to the show, but it was good to chat ball with you again.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it's kind of weird doing this again in a good way though.
To give you that itch to start doing some stuff.
Maybe
again?
A little bit. No, not my own stuff. I can't.
Yeah,
don't have time, especially when July comes. Definitely won't have time.
Yeah, you got a kid on the way, so. But maybe we'll get you on a podcast again. Just keep scratching that itch every year or so or something like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, let me know anytime.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up today's show. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.